Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Summer is just around the corner, and the folks at Mint Mobile have a hot take. Getting a summer bod is out, and getting your savings bod is in. This spring and summer, we want skimpy wireless bills and fat wallets. And with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month, you can have both without breaking a sweat or the bank. Nothing tastes as good as a low wireless plan feels, John.
Sure.
Our favorite Mint Mobile subscriber, Nina.
In the office today.
In the office today. Popped in from D.C. Ditched her old plan, Nina did. With one of the big wireless providers, she says the service and data speeds are top-notch and she's saving a ton of money on her bill. Say bye-bye. That's it spelled out there. Bye-bye. To your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills. Get your jaws off the floor. Mint Mobile's here to rescue you. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text. Delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless. Get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/love it. That's mintmobile.com/love it. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees are extra. See Mint Mobile for details. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Dynasty Typewriter. We've got a great show for you tonight. Senator Adam Schiff is here to discuss Trump's nonstop corruption and how Democrats are fighting back. Then we have the triple threat of Joe Firestone, Josh Sharp, and Devin Walker. First, we'll solve some of life's silliest mysteries, then we'll roll up our sleeves and roast the audience's worst enemies. But first, let's get into it. What a week. The Army estimates that Trump's upcoming birthday parade, an ostentatious show of military pageantry, will cost between $25 and $45 million and will include 6,700 soldiers, 50 helicopters, 28 tanks, 34 horses, and zero wives. According to the Army, the parade is not a Trump birthday celebration, however, but it is in fact a commemoration of the 250th anniversary of the founding of the Continental Army. I didn't even realize it was his birthday, said an Army spokesperson, motioning at a soldier to stop sticking candles into a Qatari 747. Said Army spokesperson Steve Warren, it's a lot of money, but I think the amount of money is dwarfed by the 250 years of service and sacrifice by America's Army. You can't be mad about the wasteful, ostentatious spending if it's all for the military. That's why the tequila water slide at my birthday was dedicated to Desert Shield. The precursor to Desert Storm. Nobody talks about Desert Shield, but they will once the hot waiters dressed on theme in fatigues bring out the Desert Shield. On Wednesday, Trump became infuriated when a CNBC reporter asked about a new acronym taking the finance world by storm.
Mr. President, Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out?
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that nice? Chicken out. I've never heard that. You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set down to 100 and then down to another number? And I said you have to open up your whole country, and because I gave the European Union a 50% tax tariff, and they called up and they said, please, let's meet right now. Please, let's meet right now. You call that chickening out?
Yeah. But here's the thing. Don't tell him about this. It's good when he chickens out. Don't make him self-conscious about it. You don't complain when Shamu unclenches his jaw and lets the trainer scramble back up to the surface to breathe. You throw Shamu a herring and thank God it's over. Don't dare him to not chicken out. Chickening out is all we have from this fucking guy. It's amazing that he does it. It's his best move. Later that evening at the Court of International Trade, which we all knew existed, Three judges, a Reagan appointee, a Trump appointee, and an Obama appointee, blocked Trump from imposing worldwide and retaliatory tariffs using emergency powers. So bye-bye tariffs. Hello, $14 tuxedo that catches fire if I stand in front of the microwave. Speaking of unpleasant journeys, we learned this week that a woman named Carol Huey, a Missouri mother of three American citizens, is currently jailed ahead of her deportation back to Hong Kong to the shock of her conservative neighbors in Kennett, Missouri. Remember shock? Her employer, John's Waffle and Pancake House, only knew she had been arrested when she failed to show up for her shift. That is a reliable person. If I got arrested, it would take at least a week for this team to stop rolling their fucking eyes long enough to wonder if something was wrong. A church friend of Huey told the Times, "I voted for Donald Trump and so did practically everyone here, but no one voted to deport moms. We were all under the impression we were just getting rid of the gangs, the people who came here in droves. We were trying to light a cleansing fire." It's like driving your car into a Pilates studio, horrified to discover you hit someone other than your ex-wife. At the same time, the administration filed documents on Wednesday revealing plans to retrieve a wrongly deported Guatemalan man after a federal judge demanded last Friday that they take all immediate steps to bring him back. Looks like those ghosts I hired have started to show them their Christmas futures. There we go. Yeah, thank you. Shut up. The man was deported to Mexico, then Guatemala, after previously fleeing both countries due to persecution for being gay. He is going to be so disappointed in the Target Pride collection when he gets back. In other news, the Trump administration has directed federal agencies to cancel all remaining contracts with Harvard, amounting to an estimated $100 million. These numbers can be a little bit hard to grasp, but that's somewhere between two and four Trump birthday parades. On Monday, Trump wrote on Truth Social, "I am considering taking $3 billion of grant money away from a very anti-Semitic Harvard and giving it to trade schools all across the land." He's going to be pretty mad when the New England HVAC Academy finally has the funds to start that gender studies program. Ah. Hoisted by his own petard. Said White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt,
"Electricians, plumbers, we need more of those in our country and less LGBTQ graduate majors from Harvard University."
That should be fewer LGBTQ graduate majors. All right, sorry. I see why they won. Unfortunately, I am going to have to go a little bipartisan on this one. Clearly, what we need is more gay plumbers. Nobody knows more about keeping the pipes clean. And by the way, we need lesbian forklift operators because I just think those bitches would be good at it. Meanwhile, the State Department confirmed that it paused all new foreign student visa interviews while it expanded its scrutiny of potential students' social media accounts. Some slob at the State Department just clicking through thirst trap after thirst trap, zooming in on butterfly tattoos and tagging it Hamas, question mark? Still, good day to be on the wait list. You know there's like a super, super anti-Trump waitlisted kid at Harvard being like, what he's doing is so terrible. Somebody stop him from keeping all these students out of Harvard. It's wrong. I don't want it like this. It won't feel right. On Tuesday, RFK Jr. posted a video with an update about the COVID vaccine.
"I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule."
It's all part of Trump's campaign promise to revitalize domestic manufacturing of tiny coffins. You're so fucking predictable. Sweet souls. Also this week, RFK Jr. threatened to prevent government scientists from publishing in certain scientific journals, claiming the federal government can always make their own. So look forward to this month's Federal Science Quarterly. Can mothers having careers turn their babies gay? The answer is grass-fed beef. Also this week, the White House released their RFK Jr.-led Make America Healthy Again report on children's health, pointing quite reasonably to social media, ultra-processed foods, and synthetic chemicals as a source of many childhood mental and physical health problems. But that's what's dangerous about Kennedy. He's an unreliable kook who does say some true things, like if ChatGPT swallowed a big bag of gravel. The report also makes unsubstantiated claims about vaccines, and experts discovered that the report cites seven sources that seem to be just completely made up. They don't exist.
A notice investigation found that the Hallmark Maha Commission report that was released last week cites studies that appear to not exist. Does the White House have confidence that the information coming from HHS can be trusted?
Yes, we have complete confidence in Secretary Kennedy and his team at HHS. I understand there were some formatting issues with the Maha report that are being addressed, and the report will be updated, but it does not negate the substance of the report.
Can you talk about what tools or research goes into production of these kinds of reports? For instance, is it AI that's used to put together these reports now?
I can't speak to that.
Sorry about that. A little formatting issue, I say to my guests when they ask why my birthday cake says 35 on it. They're just fucking plugging shit. These dumbasses are just plugging shit into ChatGPT. Like a fucking stupid... It's like amazing. It's amazing. And when nobody's checking it, like, look, all these sources just made up. But that is not the strangest story out of Kennedy's HHS this week. RFK Jr. and the head of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, who is, of course, Dr. Oz, offered to import a flock of 300 ostriches from Canada to Oz's Florida ranch after the Canadian government ruled that the birds had to be put down to prevent the spread of bird flu in British Columbia. 69 members of the flock died earlier this year from the disease. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but Dr. Oz is actually short for Dr. Ostrich Pestilence. And say what you will, but these guys make a great team. I'm sorry, I had something in my throat. They make a great teeming throng of diseased ostriches. Speaking of dangerous flocks, after issuing a slew of unsavory pardons this week for a sheriff convicted of bribery and a reality show couple convicted of fraud, Trump mused about pardoning a few more interesting characters.
Will you pardon the people who are accused of conspiring to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer?
I'm going to look at it. I will take a look at it. It's been brought to my attention. I did watch the trial. It looked to me like somewhat of a railroad job. I'll be honest with you. It looked to me like some people said some stupid things. You know, they were drinking, and I think they said stupid things.
Who among us hasn't had one too many glasses of wine and participated in a plot with a paramilitary group to overthrow the Michigan state government? Whitmer said Thursday that she was, quote, very disappointed that Trump was considering a pardon for her would-be kidnappers. Which is an insane word choice. The president is thinking about pardoning men who plotted to abduct you, and you're disappointed? You're me when the gas station doesn't have Muddy Buddies Chex Mix? You and Trump hugged like a month ago. Be madder. I've seen you more angry about a foul by Ohio State. They could have fucking killed you. Disappointed. Would you say you expected better? Why? Also this week, FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino. FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino announced that the agency will investigate a number of unsolved Biden-era scandals, including who left the bag of cocaine found at the Biden White House in July of 2023. And we tested it. It's definitely cocaine, shouted Pete Hegseth into the ear of a woman who can't stay because she's here with her friends. On Sunday, Trump posted a photo of a man being attacked by a swan at one of his golf courses with the caption, "I always said golf can be a dangerous sport. My friend being bit at Bedminster." This is fun. I'm sorry, but that is just funny. Looks like that swan got a hole in one. One penis. A federal judge on Tuesday struck down Trump's executive order targeting the law firm WilmerHale, marking the third consecutive win for the firms that have fought back against the administration instead of cutting a deal. But rest assured, Trump has a backup plan for all of these law firms. Oh, no. It's a swan. Speaking of swan songs, on Wednesday, Elon Musk bid adieu to the Trump administration as his 130-day tenure slash rampage comes to an end. Don't cry because it's over. Barf because it happened. Musk posted on X Wednesday, "The Doge mission will only strengthen over time as it becomes a way of life throughout the government." Musk said he was ultimately leaving the administration to spend less time with his family. Across the pond, J.K. Rowling, she, her, announced this week that she will provide legal funding from her billion-dollar fortune to undermine trans women's rights in sports. If you're still in line to have your Ravenclaw tattoo lasered off, stay in line. When asked how much funding she'd direct to the organization, Rowling told reporters, in Harry Potter, the goblins are Jews. Unrelated. And why she would just bring that up out of nowhere. It's a strange thing to bring up. In other legal news, a former employee of Sean Combs testified that he showed up at her door with a gun and told her, get dressed, we're going to go kill Kid Cudi, who was dating Diddy's longtime on-again, off-again girlfriend, Cassie. When I read stories like this, I can't help but think to myself, damn, I'm a pretty good boss. Scientists have reported that two of the world's most destructive, invasive kinds of termites have started crossbreeding in South Florida, creating a new and potentially even more destructive termite population. To them, I say this. Mar-a-Lago Beach Club is about 75 miles north of downtown Miami, an hour and 40 minutes by car on the Florida Turnpike. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best, and start with the columns. You are our strongest soldiers. Driverless 18-wheelers are now delivering goods across North Texas, the New York Times has reported, despite the industry being basically unregulated. Now, people are worried that this will eliminate jobs. But for every one driver position eliminated, there's a job for somebody to wash the blood and gore off the grill. And another person to go search the route for the victim's shoes and stuff. You have to embrace change. You can't be afraid of it. It's two jobs. Because you won't know where the shoes are, because the car won't know. You know, a human driver stops, not these trucks. They just arrive, and you're like, where did these bones come from? A Delta flight was delayed twice when the crew tried to remove two confused pigeons from the cabin. The pigeons were eventually returned to their natural habitat, a Spirit Airlines cabin. Okay. All right. You're on board. They announce that they can't leave until the pigeon is removed. It's flying around. Nobody can grab it. You happen to be reading a hardbound copy of Stephen King's 1,000-page opus, The Stand, as the pilot comes on the intercom to say, if they can't get this bird off the plane in the next 10 minutes, the crew times out and the flight will be canceled, along with your chances of making your sister's wedding after your parents begged you to take an earlier flight. Okay? The pigeon lands in the aisle next to you. You smashing that bird? Who's a yes? Who's a no? Who's a no because you don't think you have the stomach for it? Who's a no that would wish somebody else would fucking kill it for you? Disgusting. And finally, the European Space Agency will beam Strauss's Blue Danube Waltz into space this weekend to celebrate the 200th anniversary of the composer's birth. Explained a spokesperson, if there is intelligent life out there in the cosmos, this is just our way to say to them, we hope you like royalty-free music. Not to be outdone, Jeff Bezos announced that Blue Origin will launch another 50 or 60 women into space, as many as he can cram into the capsule. Coming up next, it's Senator Adam Schiff. Be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Stamps.com. Talk about why flexibility and when and how you get tasks done is important to you. Boy, I got to be flexible when I get my tasks done. You know, this morning, John and I recorded an episode of John Stewart's podcast. Mm-hmm. It was 8 a.m., early for me, late for John. Mm. But got right smack in the heart of my Pilates time. So I went after.
The horrors.
So I went after. You got to be flexible if you want to get your Pilates in.
You got to get your Wednesday morning Pilates in.
Yeah, you got to get them in. That's why you got to be flexible. Stamps.com will help you be flexible. You can decide when to invest your time, like focusing on the important parts of the business that only you can do. Like,
Pilates.
Pilates. With Stamps.com, tedious tasks like sending certified mail, invoices, checks, or documents and packages can be done in your time, not someone else's. Stamps.com simplifies your postage needs and adds valuable flexibility back into your workday. I had to get back for a meeting. Imagine if I had to go to the post office. I could not have done the interview, Pilates, and the post office visit with enough time to get back for my interview with Tim Miller to promote our fundraiser.
Wow. Wow.
Access all the USPS and UPS services you need to run your business right from your computer or phone anytime, day or night. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell products online. All you need is a computer and a printer. They even send you a free scale. Easily schedule package pickups through your Stamps.com dashboard. Automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. Get rates you won't see anywhere else, like up to 88% off USPS and UPS. What's Punda doing over there?
Just rolling around, having the time of her life.
Oh, to be a dog.
You know.
Huh? To be a dog in this world. Have more flexibility in your life with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com/loveit for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com/loveit.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. Hey, if you're hearing this, there are just a few tickets left for the World Pride show that we're doing in D.C. on June 6th, Friday night at the Lincoln Theater. We were just there. We're glad to be coming back. We're doing a fundraiser with Tim Miller and Sarah Longwell of The Bulwark to raise money for the defense of Andre Hernandez Romero and a bunch of other people who have been disappeared to El Salvador. We got to keep attention on this. We'll be doing a rally during the day. We'll be doing the event at night. So if you're in D.C. or around D.C., come to the show. And also, we'll be tweeting out ways that you can support this fundraiser as well if you can't. And then this show will go out on Sunday on the Pod Save America feed, so you can hear it there. It's going to be fun. We have some great guests lined up. All right, please welcome to the stage the man the Red Hot Chili Peppers wrote all their songs about. That's right. It's California's own Senator Adam Schiff. Hi, Senator. Good to see you. Welcome.
Good to see you.
It's I believe that this, we were saying back, this is the first time I've seen you since you've become a senator. We talked on Zoom or on video, but this is the first time I've seen you in person since you left behind those fucking little dweebs in the House, those absolute fucking nobodies. That must feel nice to say goodbye to those losers.
It does, actually. During I'm thinking of a few particular losers. Mm-hmm. During the State of the Union, for example, when I walked into the chamber, there was Anna Paulina Luna, who her first 3 out of 4 bills were attacking me. So one of them was the censor resolution. So I'm walking down the aisle and she looks over at me because, of course, she's right up against the aisle. She has to be there to say hello to her hero, Donald Trump, when he walks in. And she says very angrily, "You're in the Senate now." And I said, "Yes, and I guess I should thank you for that." And she says, "You'll go down in history." And I was like, "I hope so."
Got her. Now, speaking of your antagonists, did you see what former governor and pardoned felon Rod Blagojevich called you? He said, "You were the Elvis of liars on Fox News this week." Let's roll the clip.
"And the king of the Democratic liars is Adam Schiff. If there was a Hall of Fame for liars, like there was, let's say, a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Adam Schiff would be Elvis."
Wow. Now, he was removed from office. He served nearly 8 years in prison, I believe, for being convicted for trying to sell Obama's vacant Senate seat. But his sentence was commuted by Trump. What's your reaction to this Hall of Fame induction?
Well, I was going to say, I've always wanted to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or in the same sentence with Elvis. But I mean, this is so typical. First of all, of Trump's abuse of the pardon power and the commutation power and all the rest of that. Basically, if you're a convicted felon, all you have to do is say nice things about Donald Trump to get a pass. But these folks either have no sense of self-awareness. It's like Don Jr. Attacking Hunter Biden, saying you shouldn't traffic on your father's family name. Or they just, you know, they're just following the example of Donald Trump, and it's just shameless attacking over the top stuff, and damn the consequences.
So we're having a military parade on the president's birthday. It's very cool, very America with Juche characteristics. You know what I mean? It's like very North Korean. Like, I'm embarrassed about it and mad about it. Also, just surprised that all it took was for there to be a president who didn't appreciate why we didn't do those kinds of things, and now we're doing those kinds of things. What's your reaction to it?
Well, I'm horrified by it, and we see really how much Trump 2.0 is so much worse than Trump 1.0. Trump wanted to do this in his first administration, and the mayor of D.C. at the time, because among other things, this would destroy the roads to have these tanks going down the streets in Washington, D.C., famously said or tweeted, "Tanks, but no tanks." But now there, now there's no protest to it because the District of Columbia has to worry about the President of the United States essentially trashing the district, withholding any kind of funding, or using other federal means to disenfranchise further the people in the District of Columbia, and it just shows how much danger there is from this now unrestrained executive. But the idea that we're going to have this vanity show, this military vanity show, like Kim Jong-un or Il, like Putin, like Khrushchev, like Andropov, like all these people, this is his way of showing the country, I'm in charge of the military. I can call it the military for my birthday. I can call the military for protests. I can call it the military to deport people. So this is my way of putting myself in the league with other despots around the world.
Yeah, because I do want to like check myself a little bit because I feel like I have a real aesthetic problem with it, right? Like, it doesn't feel American to me. We're not garish in that way, and we don't celebrate our capacity for military violence in this way. We don't have a War Department, we have a Defense Department, right? Like, and obviously we speak out of both sides of our mouths and we've done terrible things using our military, but we at least had a culture of understanding the value of portraying restraint. And that's something that bothers me, but I think your point is right, that there's a harm in it, in that he is declaring the military is not America's, it's his.
Well, yeah, I think it's also, and you're right, we were very much of the Truman School, walk softly, carry a big stick. We didn't need to be advertising how militarily powerful we were. We were proud to rely on the power of our ideas backed up by our military strength. But I think what we're seeing now, unlike other military parades like we have on the 4th of July, which are largely a celebration of the country or they're a celebration of veterans who are serving the country. We're very comfortable. We should be very comfortable with that. No, this is a celebration of the president and his power. And that makes it fundamentally different. And it's why you're right to have that reaction, that visceral distaste for it.
Yeah, it's so, it's sometimes not the most important thing. Right, because the consequences of his worldview are so dangerous. But every once in a while, I'm just struck by just how fundamentally un-American he is and how little he appreciates separation of powers, not as a means to an end, but just by his own instinct. Like when he issued this statement recently about athletics in California, right? An issue traditionally one would not think the president would have much time to focus on. But he didn't just say, you know, Gavin Newsom is a new scum or this or that. He said, I order local officials to not allow this one student to be part of whatever this athletic competition is. It's a small thing, but when he ordered the flags at half staff for the Pope, the one who died, He said, I'm ordering the flags, not just in the federal lands, but in states to lower their flags, which is not power that he has. But what do you make of what he's been able to do so quickly to not just instinctively reject constraints on his power, but actually be able to activate on the fact that he doesn't have those restraints?
Well, first of all, let me just say I'm very distracted by whether I should kill a fucking pigeon.
Oh.
So I'm still grappling with it. Yes, I know. I know this. I would like you to kill the fucking pigeon. I haven't decided whether I should kill the pigeon. It's breathtaking to me how quickly and radically he has changed the country in 100 days. I thought the first administration would be bad. It was far worse than expected. I thought the second would be even worse. And it is well beyond any expectation. All of the walls that have come down have been terrifying. His attack on the universities and on the lawyers and the law firms and on the press and on any opposition. But I'll tell you what gives me hope, and I think there's a lot of reason for hope about this, is it took us a while, all of us collectively, to get back on our feet. It was hard this second time because he won the popular vote, because we couldn't say like we did the first time. People really didn't know what he was, what he represented. We couldn't say that the second time. So it took us a while to get on our feet. But now you see Harvard standing up to this guy, and you see other universities start to follow their example. You see law firms start to fight and win against him, and others start to follow that example instead of those that capitulated. You see demonstrations now growing in size. You see people willing to assert themselves again, to reclaim the country. And it tells me we're going to get through this. It's going to be hard. We're going to suffer damage along the way. But we've been through other hard times in our history. We'll get through this. Our mission right now has to be to mitigate every harm we can, to remind the country of who we are as a people, of the proud history that we have. I remember during the first impeachment, or as Jason Crow, one of my managers, likes to say, the best impeachment. I realized it wasn't a traditional prosecution. I didn't need to just prove him guilty of what he'd been charged, as serious as that was. I had to make the case why he could not be returned to office. And it had to do with the fact that we're fundamentally a good country and we're a decent people, and he is not who we are. And I still believe that in my bones. He is not who we are. And it's up to us to remind ourselves of our better angels and to continue making the case about the damage he's doing, the harm he's doing to real people. I don't care what anybody says. They knew he was a crook, but they didn't vote for the corruption. And that's what they're getting.
So I want to talk about what we do to appeal. So we have to appeal to people's better angels. But at the same time, what we have seen is one of, I think, the reasons you see some law firms fighting back, you see some colleges fighting back, is we see what capitulation gets you and what it doesn't. Right now, Paramount is in the midst of a negotiation over a settlement over a completely frivolous lawsuit. The lawsuit has no merit whatsoever, yet they're in negotiations to potentially pay $15, $16 million as of last reporting. One reason they may do this is because $16 million, which is a write-off, is maybe worth it to them to get through a merger to get Donald Trump off their back. Now, one reason that is less appealing is we have to demonstrate that he doesn't get off your back, he sees you're weak, right? That's part of it, that Trump won't let off. But there's a second piece of this, which I think is harder for us to figure out, and it's actually where we have agency, which is they need to be more afraid of consumers, ordinary Americans, the audience, their other customers, and Democrats, and what they'll do once they're in power to hold people accountable for these kinds of capitulations, including whether or not doing a deal like that, even though the lawsuit is frivolous, could be construed as bribery. And I'm wondering if you think Democrats right now are doing enough to kind of make clear that this isn't, in the words of Jonathan V. Last in The Bulwark, a kind of Pascal's wager, where you just bet on Trump because Democrats won't punish you, but Trump will.
I think, and I've been on the phone, I won't name names, to universities I've attended, to law firms I've been with, to companies that I represent as the now the senator from the state, to tell them, do not make a deal with this devil. He won't honor it, and you won't find any comfort in the dishonor of making the deal. Because you're right, the law firms that cut a deal, who made the false claim, and maybe they believed it at the time, that, oh no, we wouldn't do any work we're not already going to do, are being asked to do things they would never do. And what's more, no matter what they say, they're also refusing to take cases that they would have taken. And for these media companies, yeah, the business decision, just as a pure business decision, is to try to settle and make the problem go away. But the problem is never going to go away. There's no way you can tell me that ABC, having settled and paid off Trump, and that money goes right into his pocket, isn't going to think twice about running stories that criticize the president. And if Paramount, CBS makes a payment so their merger goes through, again, it's a basically an extortionary payment right into Donald Trump's pocket. You can't tell me that won't affect programming at CBS in the future. And our press has to be stronger and tougher than that. Our companies can't capitulate. There's just nothing for us at the end of this road. I try to remember my business friends, if you think you can have a good economy and have a poor democracy, you're going to find out how wrong that is.
It's interesting, because even this is this kind of mercenary appeal, which I appreciate. There was a moment when you had, the Halberstam called it like the best and the brightest, kind of ironically. But there were these wealthy people, business leaders or people that had family money, finance people, and they went into government and their whole pitch, right, was, I'm wealthy, right? I can take a government job and I'm not in this for myself. I don't need a money on the other side of this. So I'm just in it for the good of the country. Now, there are a lot of problems with that. But I am surprised that someone like a Redstone is a billionaire, just a billionaire, yet seems so concerned about the money in this, right? Like when you talk to these people behind the scenes, is there any sense of civic mindedness in these decisions? Any sense that, you know what? Sure, there's less money for me if Donald Trump stops a merger, but I have more money than I can ever need, so I'm going to do the right thing.
I had the same question, and maybe it's because I'm just not wired this way. I was talking to a friend about Thomas Barrack. You'll remember he was a big donor to Trump's first inauguration, and he was indicted on some scheme involving UAE. And I was talking to a friend of mine. Why would he do that? Some piddly-ass criminal scheme with the UAE as an unregistered lobbyist or whatever it was. Why risk everything for a few dollars more? I just don't understand that. And he said, I understand it very well. In my world, he said, how do you measure your worth, if not your net worth? Because you compare yourself to others. If you have a nice house, but your neighbor gets a nicer house, then it's not nice enough. If you have a big boat, but your friend has a bigger boat. So there's never enough. There's never enough. You're the world's richest man, Elon Musk. What more do you need? But apparently he needs a lot more. And he's ready to take it away from everybody else to get it. There he is cutting deals for Starlink from countries that want to get out from under tariffs. You know, one way to do it is to get the Starlink satellite system. I mean, it's just graft. Do you not have enough? Now, I suppose for the corporations, they would say, we have an obligation to shareholders. And imagine that will be the rationalization if this deal is cut over CBS. This is better for shareholders. But the American people are shareholders in our society, and they are too. And And they need to think about that broader obligation to the broader pool of shareholders.
I think history has always looked kindly on the people that do monstrous thing on behalf of the shareholders. I think people really appreciate that. And you know what that sound means?
Another pigeon has gone to heaven.
Another pigeon. While Republicans are making deal after deal with the devil to get their tax cuts passed, to get pardons, whatever it may be, as Trump is cashing in all over the world, we've got to ask ourselves, what are the deals with the devil we might be willing to take? In a segment we're calling Life in the Faust Lane. I have some deals with the devil for our senator.
I can see you spared no expense with the props here.
Got the production value. It's a podcast. All right, here's your first deal with the devil. Vegan cheese finally tastes like cheese. But every time you eat it, you hear a baby crying. Nobody else hears the baby. But for you, it's just loud enough that you can hear the conversation, but it's distracting.
Oh, jeez. Well, I really miss a good pizza. How loud is the baby crying?
It's
exactly.
It's like they're two rows behind you on the plane. You can still talk. You can live your life. You're not missing, but you're saying, "What? I'm sorry. There's a baby," but only you hear it, so you can't say that because you'll sound crazy.
Oh my God! This is like the pigeon all over again. These moral dilemmas on airplanes. I can't handle it. I think I'd have to go for the really good vegan cheese.
Yeah, I think that's right because you can always say no, but at least it's an option.
I can enjoy the pizza and say, "Will you keep it down back there?"
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. I cooked a vegan meal for my rabbi. Next up.
Was it a vegan ham?
No, I made a pie with tofu. I made like a pudding pie with tofu. It was good. I brought it to the office. Yeah. The vegans loved it.
I think it sounds like a bizarre take on Sweeney Todd there.
Yeah, it's the best pies in Los Angeles. All right. Next up, speaking of Los Angeles, you can reopen the Arclight with the stroke of a pen, but it will only play Marvel movies.
Oh, well, I would probably not reopen it.
Wow, that's tough. Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. All right. I've got to figure out what happened. It's just sitting there fucking closed. They can't get any information about it. There's been no reporting about it. You're a sinner. You should dig into it.
Actually, I looked into this. I kid you not. Because I like going out to the movies, and that's a great theater. And the answer that I got was that unlike some of the other arc lights that have reopened, that one owns the land, I believe.
So they're trying to sell it.
So the land is more valuable, and I think that may be the issue. They either own the land or they don't own the land, but it's what distinguished that one from other Arclight-owned properties.
It's just been sitting there closed for 5 years. It's an
criminal.
Outrage.
It is. I would not pardon that guy.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. All right, next up. California has high-speed rail from San Diego to Sacramento, but when you take the high-speed train north, you do have high-speed diarrhea. But when you take the train south, you're nude.
I'm not sure what answer is available here. What am I choosing between?
You can ride.
Oh, you can have high speed.
We have the train, but that's the deal. That's the deal.
You got to either be nude or have diarrhea.
Yeah, that's right. You get it.
It probably depends on who else is in the compartment.
Well, it depends how popular this deal is. Everyone's going to face the same moral dilemma. I think south will be popular.
I think I'd rather walk.
Okay. Next, the state of California converts entirely to clean wind and solar power, but the only song that's allowed to play on the radio is the James Blunt cover of Katy Perry's California Girl. Let's take a listen.
I know a place where the grass is really green, warm, wet and white.
Okay, I would take that deal.
Okay.
The only deal I wouldn't take is if the song were It's a Small World After All.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can never get that out of my head once I hear it.
Every once in a while, the Small World ride at Disneyland stops and someone loses their mind and jumps out of the boat. Somebody did that and took off all their clothes one time. Maybe they were trying to get a train ride.
And they had diarrhea.
They did. Oh, here's the last one. You'll never be stuck in traffic again, but whenever you go to sleep, your dreams will be exclusively about traffic.
Oh, I wouldn't take that deal.
Oh.
No, I, I'd rather dream about pigeons.
Okay. Now, before you go, you're doing a charity ride. What are you doing and how far are you going?
So I'm doing the first day of the AIDS Life Cycle ride. I did the whole ride, 540 miles, as a House member. I wanted to do it as a senator, but we have votes on Monday. So I can just do the first day. It's 80 miles. And I have not had that much time to train. So if you're any of you are in the ride, just keep on pedaling, go right past, and I'll be fine. But I'm really excited about it.
All right, great. Well, Senator Schiff, thank you so much for being here. It was so fun to talk to you.
John,
really good to see you. What a
you.
Pleasure.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Senator Adam Schiff, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quince. Father's Day gifting is always the same story. Socks, grill tools, repeat. This year, do better. Shop Quince. Quince makes buying a thoughtful and stylish gift for dad easy. Quince has all the pieces dads actually want to wear, like organic cotton silk polos, European linen beach shorts, and comfortable pants that work for everything from weekend hangs to nice dinners. The best part, everything with Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands by working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middlemen. Hate those middlemen. Quince gives you luxury pieces without the crazy markups, and Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love Quince. Buy stuff from Quince all the time. It's a great place to go. I was realizing I'm going on a vacation this summer. I was like, oh, you know what I need? I need something halfway between a fanny pack and a backpack. You know what I mean? I don't want a full fanny pack, maybe a shoulder back, something. Quince had a great one, a nice leather one that I'm going to get. So that's a good example. Just go to Quince, check it out. And maybe your dad can get something too. For the dad who deserves better than basic, Quince has you covered. Go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/loveit to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/loveit.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage the best comedic trio since me and those pigeons from the plane. It's Josh Sharp, Joe Firestone, and Devin Walker. Hi. Hi, welcome. Good to see you. Thanks for being here. Hi.
Oh, God, John, it's an honor.
Hi, good to see you.
I thought we were doing a bowing thing.
No, yeah, it was really good.
Okay.
Hi. The senator was here.
Yeah. And now us.
Now, Joe.
Whoa.
You have a murder mystery coming out next month called Murder on Sex Island, a Luella Van Horn mystery.
Yes.
Who did it?
I can't tell you. That would be all the sales.
Great. pass the test. Now, we were inspired by the idea being the mystery of murder, that we thought we'd bring all of you here tonight to solve some of the mysteries that we've been facing. In a second, we're calling Mystery Meat.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, look what you've done with the graphics.
Wow.
It's incredible, the graphics you've done.
All right, let's start with this. This week, the press captured video of French President Emmanuel Macron's wife, Brigitte, pushing him in the face as the pair deplaned in Vietnam. It's the moment where he realizes the door's open and he can be seen. I love that. That is the most... What a funny... What a comedy move. Like, blah.
Yeah.
Hey. Now, Macron played down the incident, saying, "We are squabbling and rather joking." And he asked the press not to blow it into a sort of geoplanetary catastrophe. What do we think they were fighting about? French stuff, probably.
Yeah,
definitely. Something
whatever it is, I can't understand a word.
Yeah.
I'm not sold it's a fight. It seems like a sex thing.
Yes.
Doesn't it feel a little hot?
Wasn't Macron the one who had an affair with like his like tutor or something like that?
I think that's the teacher.
His teacher. His wife is older.
He's married to that lady still?
She's in a 30-year age gap.
Yeah.
So,
right?
So that's their
he
dynamic.
He probably didn't do his homework.
Oh, yes. He didn't do his homework.
She said, "You didn't do your trigonometry." And you're acting wrong, Macron. That's crazy. I didn't know they were still together.
Yeah, no, they stuck it out for sure. Yeah.
Wow. She's not anymore, to be clear. Do you think they're still?
Or isn't she?
Yeah,
you know
well,
what I'm
you never know. I do think it's like they got off of a private plane, right? That's the hope. Or a little plane, right? A little one. A little private.
What's the French the version of Air Force One? Do they have like?
I think it's like petit peu. And they, I would say that I am angry after travel.
Yeah. Oh.
But if I was flying a little petit peu, and I came off of that and wanted to hit my young husband, I would say something is going on. Young husband, hit after private plane petit peu.
What else is there to say?
What else is there to say?
I rest my case.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. The defense rests.
The panel rests.
All right.
Petit peu.
They do have a psychosexual energy at all times.
Of course.
Very sexual.
I wish I had that relationship where I would leave a dinner party and people would be like, they have such a psychosexual relationship. Doesn't that feel like the best thing?
I mean, don't we all? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I've ever had anything that's been psychosexual.
I wish I would have.
Have you had either psycho or sexual?
Of course, one.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be amazing?
Yeah.
I said, oh, honey, your eye's bleeding. I said, oh, it's part of my psychosexual relationship.
I want to have something psychosexual. I want to feel like Michael Douglas. That's awesome.
Yeah, I just watched that movie. That is a movie that's very popular. Yes.
What's wild is that it's...
That movie from like 1989.
Yeah, have you seen it?
It's very popular.
It is. You're right. But the crazy part is you could be talking about three or four movies because he was in psychosexual drama over and over again. Yeah. He's in Disclosure. He's in Fatal Attraction. Mm. He's in Basic Instinct, right?
That's the one I saw.
Yeah. And in every single movie, it's like, are we going to kill each other or are we going to have sex?
Yes.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
They don't make psychosexual films anymore.
They don't do that
anymore.
Baby Girl. Because of the milk.
The Nicole Kidman one?
Sure. Oh, I didn't see it. I'll see it.
It's psychosexual.
No,
cool.
You're right. That is psychosexual. Yeah. You're right.
But otherwise, I agree. But that's what I loved about it is that it was...
But it didn't...
Wasn't right.
It felt like no one's going to kill each other. Everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, you didn't think anyone was going to kill each other. Yeah.
Oh, and that's where the psycho comes in.
Yeah, right, I see what you're saying.
Sure.
Basic Instinct was really hard to watch. I had to pause it.
At which point?
Yeah, there's a specific point he's thinking of.
Yeah. I know when I paused it. When it happened for you.
You know what's crazy?
What?
Is, you know, are these things at iconic moments in film.
Yeah. Sure.
You never expect these things to be, you know, you think that they're going to pause it in the film.
No.
See, this was the crazy
like in the movie theaters.
Yeah, and they just go right
just
past
pause
it.
And have an attendant go out and go, could you believe that shit? All right, everybody ready? Yeah. Cue it back up.
That's what I would like.
Yeah, that would be good.
Next up, Tom Cruise made the rounds recently promoting Mission Impossible The Final Reckoning, which the actor actually clings to the wing of an airplane as it hurtles through the air at 140 miles per hour. We have a clip.
You can't imagine how physically punishing it was for Tom to be on the wing.
That's what Emmanuel Macron's wife was doing.
Yeah, okay. Sure, yeah.
You know, this isn't my original thought, but I've heard other people say this, but like every single time I see one of these, I'm like, I think Tom Cruise has wanted to die for a long time.
I love it. It's so populist to be like, do I live or do I die? I do it for your delight. Yes. I belong to you. He doesn't own his own body anymore.
No.
It's so cool.
It's so good. We own him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're 5 years out from being in one of those like TV shows where it's like we can push a button, and if enough of us push a button, like he has to let go of the plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think we're far from that.
And what's crazy, if that's what the instructions were, he'd fucking do it for
us. He'd do it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd certainly do it for cinema. He cares about.
If he knew it'd break box office records, he'd be like, absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
Shoot me with a gun live in the Regal Cinema Union Square if that's what it needs.
Yeah.
You know?
If it'll make $1 billion in the box
office. Absolutely. I can't wait for him to go to space in that movie. You know about this?
Yeah.
He's going to space.
They're doing a movie where he goes to space. I believe they don't have a script.
Sure.
He just was like, I want to go to space in a movie. And they're like, for sure, my guy.
The morning show.
They have two plot points.
Yes.
One is that he's going to go to space, and two, he's going to shake hands with a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. Yeah. He wants a firm. He's like,
Gail King will be the woman when they go up.
There's
together.
An important moment. Look, as I get closer to the female lead in this film, at our highest, most heightened emotional, psychosexual moment, we will do a firm handshake to announce that we are partners in my space mission.
Mm-hmm.
I like
and that's
that.
That's what I love about his movies now, too.
Tom Cruise and Katy Perry dapping each other up.
That's their want
Yeah,
to
that's
do.
Beautiful.
He's been reckoning for so long. I'm glad he gets to do one last reckon.
Just one. This is the last one.
Yeah, this is it. That's it. There was the penultimate reckoning.
Mm-hmm. What a catchy name for that one.
Yeah, they're changing. And now the final one.
Yeah.
And he'll die for us. And, you know, does the movie make sense? I don't remember.
Doesn't need to.
His cousin is an actor.
Oh.
Who is his cousin? What's his cousin's name?
His cousin was in a show. Actually, I think that maybe we don't need
Lost
to go on this tangent.
His cousin was in Lost, is what the audience is saying.
Lost. Someone said Lost. His cousin was in Lost?
No, I didn't see that.
Is it you?
Wrong,
okay,
sir.
Okay, so if Joe hasn't seen it, that means it can't be true.
Someone with a microphone is speaking. What did you see?
I actually think that it's time to move on.
Okay. Next up, we have Patti LuPone talking about Audra McDonald. This week in the New Yorker interview, Patti LuPone said fellow Broadway legend Audra McDonald is, quote, not a friend. She also described her 7-year relationship with Kevin Kline as painful and said Trump-controlled Kennedy Center should get blown up. I missed that part because I only really focused on the Audra McDonald part. Yeah. When asked how Audra McDonald is doing as the current lead in Gypsy, the same show Patti won a Tony for in 2008, LuPone sat in silence for 15 seconds and then said, what a beautiful day. Now, insane.
True hater shit.
That's crazy. And then now Audra McDonald was asked, hey, this is weird. Yeah. Here's what Patti LuPone just did. And Audra McDonald was, I haven't talked to her in years. I have no idea what this is about.
That rules.
Yeah.
Wow.
And did you get to the part in the interview where she's going to town on a baby artichoke?
Yeah, that's the best part.
I like that part,
she
too.
She orders a fried artichoke, and she really goes to town, and then she tells the table next to her that they're being too loud, which
really?
Is hard to imagine. Yeah. It's hard to imagine Patti LuPone being at a table in a small cafe, and that's not the loudest table.
That's true.
Remember when Patti LuPone yelled at a photographer for taking pictures?
And it was, in fact, a photographer hired by the show.
It was incredible. And that didn't come out until later.
That part's been erased from the narrative
it was
completely.
Like Patti stood up against phone culture, and it's like, she yelled at somebody who worked there.
Yeah, literally.
That's
me
cool.
Right now. What? How dare you hear me right now?
Wait, can we go back to the photo that we had up before we move on really quickly? I just, you know, this feels clear to me that whoever runs the show has chosen sides. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because it's like, if you look here, you got Audra McDonald looking like Felicia Rashad at her finest. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
That looks like Claire Huxtable at her best. And then we've got Patti LuPone straight up looking like Danny DeVito when he played the Penguin.
Yeah.
That's a Batman Returns ass photo. That's a little homie who climbed up from the sewers if I've ever seen one. That's crazy.
Did you know in that movie he's just trying to find his parents?
What? The Penguin? Is that true?
Yeah.
I thought he was just trying to wreak havoc and become the mayor.
No, he's trying to find his parents because he was left in the basket. Like Moses.
And Danny DeVito. You know his cousin's an actor too.
But he does not want to say any more about that.
Yeah, we can't talk about that.
If you knew who I was talking about, and you knew
well,
that...
someone does!
And you silenced them.
They knew I didn't see that show. show.
He said, I know who it is. Joe Firestone looks out the window for 15 seconds in silence. And then says, it's a lovely day.
It's just so interesting to think about why it can't be mentioned. That's what's so interesting.
I know that I don't know the name of the show. And I know that it'll take me all year to figure it out. Does anyone... Can I ask you something, though? Because seriously...
Do you want him to name more of the person's credits? Maybe we'll get to the show.
That actually might be helpful, but can I ask you something really quick? Does anyone ever say, oh, you're John Lovitz?
People think I'm John Lovitz, and that actually helps with the booking of this show.
Yeah, sure.
We have some really confused...
I'm frustrated right now to learn.
It tends to... Every once in a while, there'll be like a...
I had so many questions about the critic to ask.
Yeah. No, I get surprising number of questions about my stepmom as an alien, believe it or not.
Oh. I believe it.
Josh, you have an off-Broadway show called Ta-da. Ta-da. Ta-da.
Uh-huh.
Premiering next month, directed by O'Mary Sam Pinkleton.
Yeah. That's
cool. Wow.
Good guy.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
Let's get this out there. Attack a Broadway legend.
Oh, yeah. Who should we attack?
Let's start a feud.
Mm. Oh, I'll attack Cola Scola.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get him.
Well, they're not funny. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And they've cribbed everything from open micers.
Right.
They're doing such hack stuff. Yeah, everybody's doing their Mary Todd Lincoln impressions at the open mics.
If you was at the mic in 2016, we was all doing
You
that.
Saw Oh Mary. Yeah. We were all doing Mary Todd.
Yeah, we were always doing that.
Mm-hmm. So,
and they took my hairstyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And your whole sort of sense of fashion, quite honestly.
I like this watch. That's
hey,
cool.
Thank you so much. I got it online.
That's nice.
Ah. I love buying stuff online. Yeah. We both do that.
It's nice.
Do you have any boxes?
You like to take something home, you mean?
Do you have boxes at your house?
Boxes? Yeah.
Cardboard?
For sure.
Could I have them?
Yeah. Come with me after the show. We'll get you some boxes. I got boxes.
Because I was going to go to Staples in the morning.
Buy boxes? No. Things you don't have to buy. Salt packets, napkins, boxes.
Yeah.
Napkins? Cloth?
Cloth, yeah. You can't take those from the restaurant. Oh. But paper napkins, you can just grab anywhere.
Family style.
Family style.
You know, this is really awesome. I've known Joe Firestone for years, but this is the first time I've ever made the connection that Joe is basically a white Tracy Morgan.
Wow. That is...
Or is Tracy the white Joe Firestone?
Say that.
It's sort of a chicken or egg.
Yeah, we're drawing new conclusions.
This is
incredible.
I have never... Honestly, what a compliment.
No, it is. the funniest person who's like thinking on a wavelength that like we haven't accessed it, but once we catch up, we're going to be like, well, they were a genius all along.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if you went and played... like Van Halen for Benjamin Franklin, he'd be freaked out.
Yeah.
Deism. That was his
deism,
religion.
Deism, yes, you're right. He was a deist.
That's right.
As in Jefferson too, right? What was his deal? He cut all the words out of the Bible, remember?
Deism.
Jefferson did?
Yeah.
Why?
You know, that wasn't...
Oh, every word?
No, just the...
So there were no words left? Because I don't see the point. Did he just need the paper?
Yeah, just stop. Just don't do that.
What's crazy is that there were scissors back then.
Were there? Whoa. Do we know that? Because that's like a big deal, the scissor. They're like, no, I have a crazy idea. Two knives at once.
No.
One hand.
No.
It's crazy.
Don't do it.
Imagine if you hadn't seen scissors and somebody explained it, you'd be like, you're an idiot. You're going to cut yourself. Course. What
you'd
a
like,
stupid idea.
Like, why would anyone ever need that?
Yes. Yeah.
I got a knife. And they're like, what if you had two and a fulcrum point? What?
Yeah. No. With holes for your fingers. What?
What? Yeah. What? In
do you
blank?
Think the tool came first or the lesbian act? Do you think one was...
Oh.
Do you think lesbians did it and somebody went, that's how I should cut paper? Probably, right? Probably.
You gotta assume the act is first.
Yeah.
You got like
I've been tearing it and it looks like shit.
Yeah.
And with elegance these women are making love.
Yeah.
Think of the smooth lines I could have on my paper cuts.
Somebody saw Eleanor Roosevelt getting busy and they were like, oh, okay, no.
They're not ready. They're not ready.
They're not ready to picture that.
You understand.
They're not ready for that conversation.
Like, in my mind, I was like, it's Eleanor Roosevelt and Amelia Earhart for some reason.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Okay, we're on the same page.
Can I tell you something bad about L.A.? Okay? I'm just going to tell you something bad about L.A.
Yeah.
Okay? Every time I've gone to a party in L.A., someone asks if I'm dressed like Amelia Earhart.
And can I just... clarifying question, and also sort of just scientifically set a control group.
Yeah.
When you lived in New York, did this happen at all?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Interesting.
And do you dress differently in L.A. because it's warmer?
No, I don't dress any different. And
That's true. You dress the exact same here. I can verify that as someone who's known you a long time.
I'm not going to Halloween parties. I'm going to normal parties where people say, "You dress like Amelia Earhart? What kind of people are here?"
Who's the most famous person who accused you of that? Can you name any names?
Charles Lindbergh.
So you're going to a lot of sort of pretty anti-Semitic parties, it sounds like. So these are pretty anti-Jewish events that you're attending.
Yeah, I got it.
America First kind of a place, so no wonder.
I guess I didn't mention that part.
Next up. At Sunday's American Music Awards, Benson Boone.
Yeah.
Backflipped off a flight of stairs to the stage. Let's take a look.
He's always flipping.
He's always doing that.
Yeah. I'll just say he came to SNL and they had this nigga doing flips like a circus animal. It was crazy. It was crazy. They had him doing promos, just doing flip after flip after flip.
He's
like he was a dolphin.
He's used to it.
Leave this man alone. Let him sing his little songs.
He's Mormon?
They've had him
flipping since 9. He's drinking soda and flipping.
Yeah.
We know this.
He sings a song about how his wife, or he's got a girl, and he doesn't.
Yeah, don't assume.
He sings that song. I've got a girl, and I've got my life, and then the worst thing is it's going away. Thank you, God.
Right.
Isn't that the song?
It's something like, yes.
Why is it going away?
It's just like, you know that?
He's worried he's going to lose everything.
Yes,
he has all the
right.
things in the world, and he's worried that it's going to go away.
Right.
And then why does he say thank you, God, to
it's
that?
It's like, God, how does it go?
You know the song.
God. I got.
So, Devin, you have a new podcast. My Favorite Lyrics, where you talk to comedians about their favorite lyrics.
Yeah.
So these are Joe's.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think that an executed backflip is sort of good for the music, is good for art?
Do I think doing backflips is good for art? I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think the more difficult physical stunts an artist can pull off, the more I can respect them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
no, for sure. Because, you know, a lot of people can, you know, sing, scream into a microphone.
Yeah.
But to get those kinds of abs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be able to get abs. And you know what I will say about him is he will complete the flip. He's never lip syncing either. He'll complete the flip and then continue like singing like nothing happened.
Respect.
That's full respect.
That's like Pink. When Pink's flying around singing, I'm like, respect.
Whoa, that's so true. Yeah,
don't you feel?
She's doing like Cirque du Soleil at her concerts. Yeah.
I got the song.
Both things impressive.
Oh, you got it now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful things that I've got. Wow.
Right.
That's what that song's about.
Yeah. I'm
literally putting it together.
You're literally. This is what I'm talking about. She's thinking on a different level.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a recent episode of Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa, Jeremy Renner recalls briefly dying while being crushed in a freak snowplow accident on New Year's Day in 2023.
You don't see anything but what's in your mind's eye. Mm. Like you're the atoms of who you are, the DNA, like your spirit is, it's like the highest adrenaline rush, but the peace that comes with it, you know?
Now that's him talking about
dying. Tracy Morgan. I mean,
they're everywhere.
And here he is talking about returning to the realm of the living.
I didn't want to come back. I remember. And I was brought back and I was so pissed off. I came back. I'm like, oh. And then I saw the eyeball again. I'm like, oh.
Not the eyeball.
Also, wait a second. I know this is beside the point, but Why the fuck does Kelly Ripa have a podcast?
Because yeah. I don't know. Everyone,
that's crazy.
It's she's like, also, it's called Let's Talk About This Off Air, and she does it on air.
Right.
Off camera. I see. Camera. She's like, finally, I can take the makeup off.
Sure. But, yeah, okay. It's just audio.
Take it back.
Kelly Ripa has to have a podcast. Everybody's got to have a podcast
she's been
now.
She's on TV every day for like 25 years. People
and doing a talk show, which is a podcast. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like she's like, oh, finally, I get to break the... take the mask off.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, you've seen me play all these villains, but now you get to know the real Kelly Ripa.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, I know podcasting seems easy, but it's not.
Wait, so what happened? He got trapped under snow.
He got trapped under a snowplow. Snowplow falls on top. Remember, there was like we were. Now that I've heard him talk about it, because we joked about it at the time, but you didn't realize, like, oh my god,
the actual
he
plow. Died.
The plow fell on top of him somehow.
Oh my god.
I don't really remember the details of it, but the plow goes on top of him, and he was fucked up for a while.
Oh.
Yeah. I guess he really did like leave the realm. Here's our mystery: what did he see beyond the veil?
It's hard to know, really, but it does seem like, you know, you'd hope an angel.
And he was referencing an eyeball. There seemed to be a giant eyeball.
Something, an eyeball in the sky. He saw his own eyeball? Well, that you're never supposed to see. Wait, it came out?
You shouldn't see
that. Is that a real thing? His eyeball fell out of his fucking head?
Your eyeballs can fall out. Your eyeballs can fall out.
And his cousin's an actor too, you say? Oh my god. Wow.
But eyeballs can fall out.
Yeah, they definitely can. Oh, that's horrific. That's horrific.
That's why you didn't want to come back.
Sure. I get that.
Yeah, if your eyes all outside your head, it's like you don't want to.
You never want to see the back of your eyeball.
No. Well, I didn't know any of this about Mr. Renner. I really have a lot of empathy
all
for
that
him.
He got crushed by the snowplow, and then he went and did another Avengers movie?
Well, the TV show.
Damn.
The TV show?
Archery Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Oh, did Hawkeye get a TV show?
Hawkeye is a very good TV show. Christmas.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Planned Parenthood, Federation of America. Your body is your own. Planned Parenthood believes everyone should have the freedom to make decisions about their health, including abortion, whenever and wherever they need it. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies. Whether you need STI testing and treatment, birth control, gender-affirming care, cancer screenings, or abortion, Planned Parenthood is there for you and all of us. But some lawmakers want to force their personal beliefs on everyone else. They're pushing bills to block people from getting sexual and reproductive care. They're cutting access to reproductive health care, trying to block coverage for birth control, promoting abstinence only until marriage programs, and attacking Planned Parenthood. Simply put, the government wants more control over our bodies, decisions, and futures. Right now, millions of people are at risk of losing access to care, especially women, people of color, rural communities, and people with low incomes. Planned Parenthood believes healthcare is a human right, and together with people like you and me, they're fighting every day to build the future we deserve, one where everyone can get the care they need, no matter who they are or where they live. Supporters like you power this work. Donate to support Planned Parenthood now at plannedparenthood.org/protect. That's plannedparenthood.org/protect.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back! For the next month, when you buy something in the Crooked Store, it's so hard to do the promo with guests here.
We can help.
Yeah, would you like us to help?
Do you need us to support?
Yeah, here, you just read the merch.
You
wanna, read the merch part.
You guys just want to popcorn it?
Like
we each do a bullet
just point? Start
at
the merch one, though.
The merch one, okay.
Oh, it's just the merch one.
Yeah.
Right here.
Okay. For the next month, when you buy something from the Crooked Store,
you'll get a promo code for free 30-day trial of Friends of the Pod.
Our subscription community.
That means
a month of ad-free pods. Exclusive subscriber-only shows and access to our Discord server completely free. So support our mission, get the merch, and head to crooked.com/store now. Thank you. That was so fun.
That was good.
It's a good show. I'm proud of us.
We did good.
Mm-hmm. And then next week, right here at Dynasty Typewriter, we have our Pride show with Joel Kinbooster, Clea Duvall, Brendan Scannell, Adam Rippon, Darby Lynn Cartwright, Alexis Bavels, and Sabrina Wu. It's going to be a really good time. So if you're in LA, grab tickets at crooked.com/events. All right. Thank you for that.
All of those people are straight.
They're all straight.
All of those people
are
straight.
All straight, which is insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Terrible, terrible job booking that show.
Yeah. And this one while you're at it.
All right. Let's turn the lights up.
Oh.
We got some saucy bitches on the stage. And so we've decided to give the live audience an ounce of their powers in a segment we're calling it Love It or Leave Grill Marks. Nice. Now, please raise your hand because you're going to tell us about someone or something from your life that you would like us to roast. Then our guest will help provide a sick burn.
Do you need help, like examples? An example is like someone who cut in front of you in line at the grocery store.
Yeah, or like Jews.
You know, you would really love these parties I go to.
So the other day I was crossing the street and there was two men in a big truck and they had a police siren and they went weird and we were like, are the police coming? And then they had a microphone and they said, people crossing, people crossing, which was like kind of funny. But maybe you could roast them, I don't know.
It's hard. I have so many clarifying questions.
Yeah. And I just don't know if you heard our examples of grocery store and Jews.
Any questions you have, I'm willing to answer them. Mm.
Were you crossing like with the light and they were helping you, or you felt they were mocking you?
They weren't helping me by playing like a police siren while I was trying to cross.
Were they driving past you or were they parked?
No, it was one of those crosswalks where they have to stop because it's like a walk crosswalk.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so I was like in the crosswalk and they were like, people crossing.
Now, can I ask, this is a slightly delicate question.
Uh-oh.
Some men, they don't have words. Do you think you were being hit on?
No, because we were together. It was just... people crossing.
Maybe
you know?
They just didn't respect him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or they're bi. Or they're bi.
They're trying to get at both of y'all.
They didn't say people crossing.
No, yeah. I have to say, it didn't have the energy of a cat call. It wasn't like a weird sexual thing. It was just like...
Well, a lot of us are really creative with how we do it now.
Be annoying. Okay.
Do they have cat calling in L.A.?
No.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been trying it.
Whoa! Yeah.
Wait, Joe, can you give your best cat call to the person who asked the question?
Yeah, I would be like,
okay, yeah, let's
people crossing.
Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you for going
Pretty
first. See, now the hands start going up every goddamn time.
If they saw the caliber of roasts they'll get from us.
Yeah, I think sometimes roasts feel scary because it's like, oh, the oven's up to 450. But then it's like, no, we're just putting carrots in here.
That's a great point.
That's such a good point. And also, by the way, for a lot of the time you're cooking a roast, you don't cook it that hot.
Oh, because you're talking about,
like a roast.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You don't turn when you're roasting a roast, you actually don't turn it to roast, not right away, maybe at the end.
You use one of those bidet pans?
Bidet pans?
What? Bidet pans?
What are they called?
I know what word it's also French.
Like shoots up the water in your ass?
No.
Well, that's what
that's
you said,
bidet.
Joe.
Yeah, that's a bidet.
And words matter.
Should I go?
Should you go?
Fair. Totally fair.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though? The bidet pan?
I don't.
But I know, yeah.
Okay, so I have a lot of tattoos, and when people come to ask me about them, they always got to touch them.
Oh. Mm.
Like I was at a movie theater, like waiting in line to get snacks or whatever, and this guy is just like, "Wow, look at your ink." I was just like, "Where did you get them?" And like I had to like walk away from. And this happens all the time. People always gotta touch them.
Oh, I didn't know that that was something that
Me
happened.
Neither. I'm learning.
So you're looking for something to say back to this person when someone's touching your tattoo?
Yeah, sure. It's always just this awkward thing where I have to be like, please stop touching me. Mm. And then there's just this silence where they're looking at me like I'm crazy or like I just said something super rude.
And these are complete strangers.
Yes.
I think as soon as they reach for you, you should be like, help!
Yeah.
That'll disarm anybody immediately, and I guarantee you they won't make contact.
Yeah.
That's not a roast so much as it is just a life suggestion.
Yeah.
Have you thought about having a whistle? Just having a whistle at all times. A whistle really keeps people at bay, I think. It just sort of is a surprising thing to hear at the movies.
Ooh, or you could get a big truck with a police siren.
Ooh.
Yes, you should reach out to the people crossing, guys.
You know,
People touching.
But if you want to get into the spirit of, I mean, you could go something down. I'm just going to give an area. An area would be like, if your wife won't let you touch her, why do you think a stranger would be interested? How about that?
Yeah.
You know? And then he'd be like, I'm not married. And you're like, of course you're not. You're not likable.
Wow. Mm.
You don't have a good personality. You're reaching out to a stranger because you're so fucking alone. Whoa. And by the way, this won't help. There's something wrong with you. You're wrong. You'll never be right. There's something wrong with you, and it will never, ever be fixed. You could try that.
That's good.
You should have put that in one of the Obama speeches.
Wait, no, you did. That was a quote.
No.
That was a quote.
No, it was inaugural.
I was thinking just if you wanted to do it, just a quick one, where it's like, touch your own arms.
Okay.
That's good.
That's good.
I will say sometimes, you know, I know it doesn't look like it up here, but I am a little bit shorter than other people. And sometimes people pick me up like a bug. And like I gotta be like, glass? Put me down.
What'd you say?
Like with a glass and a piece of paper?
No, not with a glass, but sometimes people be like, could I pick you up? And I'm like, no. And then they pick me up and my legs are dangling like a bug, you know? And then I said, hey, put me down. And then and I would say sometimes I'm like, you shouldn't have done that.
That's good.
That's really good. That's really good.
Oh, I have one. Yeah. Wait, Joe B touching my tattoos.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
No, you're gonna smudge it.
That's good.
That's good.
That's really good. Let's do it. Here's somebody up here. There's somebody back there.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. So I drive a lot. I have a lot of long drives and everything. And you know, thank you. Yeah.
Hong Kong. Can we get a Hong Kong?
Sometimes, Hong Kong. You know, I like to listen to podcasts and everything on these long drives and everything.
Well, you're at the right show.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. And you know, there's, I like to get my news from podcasts too. And you know, there's this one guy who uses very pessimistic and very realist statistics. Mm. And his name may or may not be Dan Pfeiffer.
Oh, okay.
So how do I cope with his realism?
So you want me to figure out how to insult Dan Pfeiffer, my co-host?
I mean, you're saying that. You're the one saying that.
You're saying Dan Pfeiffer is delivering hard truths that are too hard for you to... Maybe you should check out Kelly Ripa's podcast. I think you'll find a pleasant experience there, though occasionally it gets pretty dark.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I've only heard one episode, and it was about Jeremy Renner fucking dying. And his eyeball
like
coming out of
Kelly
his head.
Kelly Ripa's TV show. That's a pleasant experience.
Because Dan never talks about what it's like to pierce God's veil... and see to the other side and wish he didn't have to come back. He never talks about that. It's just polling.
Yeah, it sounds like you got roasted, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It wasn't supposed to happen like that.
It was friendly fire.
Oh, wow.
It was friendly fire. We got you. Yeah, I mean, I guess what I would say is eat shit, Dan. All right, let's do one more.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Here in town from Sacramento, and I got a good roast. So
The Mentalist.
Yes. I was at the AOC burn rally in Folsom, the one with like 30,000 people. It was insane. Mm. And there was this dude flying a plane over this rally. for a good like 45 minutes. Saying
was Tom Cruise hanging on it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, just about.
Okay.
But, yeah, so this guy was just like flying over the crowd for like 45 minutes. So, yeah.
Just to be obnoxious, you think?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, buzzing you.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
So I think he could use a good roasting.
Mm. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I would just say, I think something like, there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You're broken, yeah. And it'll never be right.
Mm-hmm. And he was in like a little, what are they called? Little
a petit Cessna, poo.
Like
little,
a petit poo? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that like one of the most dangerous, like people die in that all the time, right? Flying those little
those
things.
Little planes?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's gonna roast himself.
Yeah, he's gonna get roasted pretty good. I mean, there is something interesting, because this happened in LA after Trump won. There were these kind of caravans of pickup trucks like driving around. Like I saw them in you saw them? They were
people
driving
crossing, all, people crossing.
People crossing, people crossing. But they had like giant Trump flags that seemed quite custom. And they were just driving around with like air horns and making noise and taking up space driving through. I saw them in Burbank. I saw them in Los Feliz. And I caught the eyes of one guy passing and he had this look on it like, yeah, you're pissed. And it's like, I'm good. Like I was actually, this is a little annoying, but there was something really interesting about it because it was like, oh wow, the psychic victory you thought you would feel, the emotional release, like you thought you were going to feel better when Trump won. You thought Trump win was going to feel like winning in a kind of deeper way for you, but clearly it's not. Clearly you're not getting enough out of Trump's victory to satisfy that emptiness that led you to be so excited and supportive of him in the first place. So now you get in your truck and get right up next to the liberals that you think are sad. But isn't it strange how as much as you want Schadenfreude to feel good, it doesn't work, does it? Maybe a little bit, maybe for a second, but it doesn't last. It doesn't fucking keep. It doesn't work. So that guy's driving around in a fucking airplane trying to ruin some stranger's day because there's something broken in him that Trump winning couldn't fix because it never could because it's all a fucking lie. And I think he'll never hear that. We won't reach him with that. But it's nice for us to think about, I think. It's a roast we can hold in here.
Yeah. Also, it's like that you don't, if you're flying, if you've ever been in an airplane, you don't really get to know what's going on down below.
Have we considered maybe he was lost?
Like somebody that you're dressed as all the time.
Yeah!
That is so LA of you.
All right. Good job, everybody. Thank you for your questions. Thank you to Joe, Devin, and Josh. Josh's Tada will begin off-Broadway this July at the Greenwich House Theater. Tickets are on sale now at joshsharptada.com. You can listen to My Favorite Lyrics wherever you get your podcasts. And Murder on Sex Island, a Luella Van Horn mystery, hits stores in June. I'm excited about that. That's cool. And that's our show. That's it. Thank you to Center Out and Shift, Joe Firestone, Devin Walker, and Josh Sharp. We'll see you next week for our special Pride Show at Dynasty. There are 521 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer, and Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Coffin, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Will Miles are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Schercher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Caderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat. Our head of programming is Madeline Herringer. And our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothes.
Dan is very busy, clothes only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
Comfort is often the first thing we're willing to give up, like taking a long flight for a vacation or waking up early for a workout. But don't let style be the reason you aren't comfy. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look put together while feeling truly comfortable. Inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, the Ace Collection combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks. Upgrade your collection for the new year with bomber jackets, half zips, sweats, crew necks, and much more. Get comfortable anywhere with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.